Well, the audiences here, I've got to say, have been absolutely fantastic. I don't know why I keep looking at the stage, which you obviously can't see on the radio. Don't know why I'm doing that. The audiences here have been absolutely fantastic. They've been so responsive, and it's just been great. I've absolutely loved it.
In a nutshell, without giving too much away, what is the story?
It's about a group of friends who get together to celebrate and have a dinner. And I'm the father. I'm expecting a child, and I enter the party and tell them what the prospective name of my child is. And people take offence, shall we say? And then things unravel quite quickly. And by the end of the play, we're left with food all over the stage, someone bleeding from his nose, and a chair on the floor, and all sorts of debris. So you can imagine that in between the announcement and the end, there's quite a lot that goes on, and it's very fast-paced, it's very funny, and very moving, actually, surprisingly moving towards the end. And it's a bit of a roller coaster ride. We walk on stage, and then it's like getting fired out of a cannon, then it just flies along, and then suddenly we go, we're bowing, and you go, wow.
I was going to say, it must go really quick for you.
Yeah, it really does, and it's really good fun, and it's live, and I echo what Sarah said about doing it here in Birmingham. There's a warmth and a joy, and they, from the moment we start, they kind of jump on board with us, and it's like a train that's just hurtling down a hill, and it's really exciting to be a part of. I think we're really definitely lucky to have opened it here. Right.
So when I was watching it from the first few minutes as the characters are coming in, I was going, yeah, I know that one. Yeah, that situation.
A lot of people have said that afterwards in the bar. I was chatting to quite a few people in the audience on the first night, and they were saying that straight away a lot of women were saying they identified with my character, and that they recognised all the other characters in some capacity. And we should also say that there's a family element. Nigel and I play brother and sister, and I really believe that nothing brings out the emotions in people like family relationships. There's something very primal about being related to somebody, and often the resentments that build up over the years. And that's something else that happens on this particular night, is everything comes out. And
it's just so,
you know, things that have gone on all your life, and, you know, particularly with siblings, I think there's something very specific about sibling relationships and all the resentments and the roles you play within a family. We're always like, oh, I'm this one or I'm that one, and that all comes out. But there's something as well about a show not having an interval that I think is great, not just for the audience, because you're out by like 9 o'clock, but the fact that there is no break. Like Nigel says, it is like you're on a train for all of us together, the audience, you know, you're kind of immersed in it. And I think an interval takes you out of it, whereas this, it just keeps gathering momentum and getting more, there's more twists and turns. And I think there's something great for the audience and the cast, that we're all on it together and there's no break from it. For example, I go off the stage a few times because I'm preparing the meal.
Lazy.
You know, I've just said, I'm not being on stage for 90 minutes, darling. So you know,
don't really make the Moroccan banquet backstage? It's not actually...
Of course I do. I'm slaving over a hot stove.
She comes in early every day.
Yes, that was part of the audition. They said, now, could you prepare a Moroccan banquet? I was like, yes. But that's something I relate to, because I don't cook very often. I don't particularly enjoy cooking. And again, a lot of women have said, when you've cooked a meal and it's not something you're really crazy about doing, you're, come on, we're eating this meal. And I love that throughout this play, this character is desperately like, come on, can we just eat the meal? Let's have a nice night. And I've loved the fact that a lot of people have said that they identify with that whole kind of, I've gone to all this trouble, we will enjoy the meal, even though everybody's rowing now, we're going to enjoy the food. That's very British.
You know, not everyone in this room is lovely.
No.
We're all incredibly flawed, and yet we're all kind of redeemable in some way, and have got good hearts. And I think that's important that we show that, because sometimes you go to the theatre and you just see the perfect version of people, especially if you go see a movie. It's always, whereas, you know, we are all flawed and we're all okay in our own ways. And I think that's where the play scores a hit as well for me.
Yeah, so. I totally agree with that. And I think I totally agree with what Nigel said as well about when you read a script, first of all, you check that you're in it all the way through. You're like, yes, am I still in this all the time? but also you draw on things that you think, yes, I've experienced that, or I can identify with that, or I know I can relay that. And then, yes, you pick things from other people that you know, and it's quite weird. I mean, it's interesting, when I'm on stage, I sometimes hear my mum and I sometimes hear my sister. And it's really quite, it shocks me a little bit because I sort of hear my own voice.
That's
and I go, oh my God.
In the wings there going, get off, get off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not every night, but some nights they have done that. But I think the other thing is, I mean, Nigel's got such a tricky part to play because there's some really unpleasant aspects.
He's vile.
But he's very charismatic and charming. Like, my mum came to see him press night and she said, wow, you know, He did some horrible things, but he was something about him. You couldn't help yourself. That is a crucial aspect to the play, I think, because it's sort of that you just love this character, and he's sort of winning you over, and you're sort of hating yourself for it. But the twinkle in the character keeps you kind of. And that's a really, I think that's credit to Nigel. It's the only praise I'm ever giving him. That, you know, he really makes that work.
This interview's going very well.
But of course, it all relies on the rest of the cast backing up what he's doing.
There's some other people on stage, but I tend not to look at them.
Oh, God, are there, apart from us? Yes, oh, gosh, I hadn't even. Yes, there are. There are some other ones. But I think everyone really plays their part, and I think everyone's got a lot of energy as a performer in this. Nobody sort of comes on and is like, ugh. Everyone comes on with a lot of passion and energy and commitment, and I think that it's a real team effort in that aspect. This play, we all kind of rally each other along, and nobody sort of brings it down. Everybody's got something to bring.
And we get a free meal every night as well.
Oh yeah,
you know, we
yeah.
get to eat a tagine and couscous every night.
It does look nice, actually, when you're sat out here. Do you know what?
I'm devastated. The dates with the marzipan, which I tuck into straight away. Yeah. A couple of times I've been caught out. You know, this is the thing when you have food in a play. You've got to work out when you're going to eat because you don't want one of your good lines to come up and like.
Bit of the front row.
Yes, and we have had that slightly choking on a cube of carrot, but I'm trying to stuff those dates down my neck as fast as I can because they're lovely, and it devastates me they go on the floor.
It's a shame the wine's not real.
No, but I think we're going to do Saturday nights, I think.
The last
real.
One.
We're going to do real wine.
Yes, I have a special arrangement actually with the management whereby I am actually drinking.
Yours is wine. Yours is because you get through a lot.
I think that night will be about 3 hours long. We'll just be sitting around chatting, having wine.
Yeah. Real arguments start coming out.
This was supposed to be funny.
It's fast paced. Yes.
Have you seen much of Birmingham? While you've been here?
We've hardly had time to because we've literally rehearsed in London and then we rocked up for the tech here, so it's been quite frantic. So we're hoping to now. I mean, certainly next week I'm going to get out and about in Birmingham. Great shops,
a lot of shops,
Selfridges, Harvey Nicks, yes,
go to the mailbox.
Yes.
Do you still get recognised? Have you not been out yet?
Yes. We probably get a similar. Well, I don't know what you know. I sort of get, oh my God, and then sort of, what are you doing here? And what are you doing here? How dare you come to bed?
You're in people's bedrooms in the middle of the night, just breathing over them quietly. What are you doing here?
Yes, admittedly, I have got a bit lost sometimes in my hotel. But I also tend to get a lot of, oh, hello, and how are you doing? And they think I'm somebody they know.
You don't get people coming with, like, Heather Small faces
no,
on
I'm
a stick.
Disappointed. I haven't had a Heather Small yet. No, that's a good point. Where are the Heather Smalls on sticks,
What's
please,
a
Birmingham? Well, in Miranda, my character, this is going to sound so bizarre now, I hold up a stick with Heather Small, the singer from M People's Face, and I sing, What Have You Done Today to Make You Feel Proud? Don't ask me. It began out of a weird improvisation.
Yes.
It was. I was around at Miranda's flat, and I don't know why I did it, and she went, that's so weird. Why did you just do that? And then next thing, it's in the script and it's the mainstay of the character.
It is the thing.
I get people coming up to me and singing it in my ear quite a lot. And it's so unnerving because obviously I'm not thinking about that anymore.
Yeah.
Somebody comes up, first of all, I go, oh my God. And then it's quite tricky. Where do you go from there?
Yeah,
they're a bit like, oh. And then they think you're going to sing it back. And I sort of go, oh, no, I'm not really comfortable doing that.
Especially if it's the actual Heather Small.
we did a sketch for Comic Relief where she did sing it. And it was quite funny because up until that point, I was like, I do it quite well, actually, quite pleasing myself. Yeah. Then she sang it in my head. Her voice is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was slightly embarrassing because I was like, oh, I thought I was quite good, but...
Trust the real people to come along and ruin it.
No, I was a bit like, stay away from me, Heather, right. Back off with your amazing voice.
Any more Miranda, is that, has it been mentioned?
Don't know, don't know. Yes, cannot comment, don't know. We should say about the set as well. Did you love the set?
Fabulous set, yeah.
We were
I love the rain.
It's even more exciting. It slightly flooded the stage.
First take, every time somebody went past the door, they just basically fell over. So it was a play of people just sliding.
It was fast.
And people thinking, what brilliant physical comedy as we're like walking around with broken ankles. So convincing. She really looked like she was in actual pain.
Yeah. You're here till a week on Saturday.
Yes, yeah. Saturday the 11th of Feb.
Yeah. What's in a name? The Rep. Lovely to see you. Enjoy the rest of your time in Birmingham.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And please keep coming, Birmingham audiences, because we love you.